Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to the Eurotrip.
Live from Malmö.
Well, 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 just like that, the first semi-final of Eurovision 2024 is over. It's in the books, and we have our 10 qualifiers, our first 10 qualifiers, for the Eurovision Grand Final of 2024.
Yes, we're chatting about a moment after the closing credits of the first semi-final. Let me just take you through those qualifiers in the order they were announced. Serbia, Portugal, Slovenia, Ukraine, Lithuania, Finland, Cyprus, Croatia, Ireland back in the final for the first time since 2018, and then left to last on their Eurovision return after 31 years, Luxembourg.
Did your favourite make it? Has your favourite gone home? On today's episode, we will react to the results of the first semi-final. Some big headlines in there. We'll go through them and we'll bring you all the latest from here in the press centre. And a little bit later on, we will be bringing you an exclusive conversation with the person who put together Ollie Alexander's incredible staging that you saw on your TV screens for the first time in that semi-final.
Yes, welcome along to the press centre here in Malmö. It is 11:30 in the evening. It could be literally any time in this windowless room that we're in, and we've spent so many hours in already today. Should we just chat about the show in general before we go and get a bit more reaction? Because it was a strong show. People talk about one semi being stronger than the other every single year. People perhaps saying semi-final two is stronger. Gosh, it must be strong if that is the standard we got in semi-final one.
I think I had an argument with yourself and Callum, who has now joined us here on the comfy sofas in the media centre. I had an argument with you both yesterday because you two both consider potentially semi two to be the stronger semi. I think that was the strongest semi-final. I think that was tough, really difficult for any of those countries to get through. But we took you through the qualifiers there. Really heartbreaking, though, for the countries that haven't made it. Do you want to remind us who's gone home?
Yes, so unfortunately, we will not see Poland, Iceland, Moldova, Azerbaijan and Australia in the final on Saturday. Of course, that's only the second time in history, isn't it, that Australia won't be featured in the final. The first time, sort of live, actually, because, of course, the last time when they sent Montaigne in 2021, it was a live on tape, so Australia wasn't really present at the contest. So perhaps for Australian fans, and we might get a bit of reaction a little bit later on, this is perhaps the hardest one to take, really.
This is, by the way, one of those episodes where we have no idea what is going to happen over the next 10, 15 minutes or so. Later on, an exclusive conversation with the United Kingdom's creative director, Theo Adams, because, as I said already, we saw Ollie Alexander's performance for the United Kingdom on your TV screens and here in the arena for the first time live. Callum, you've joined us. What were your highlights from that show?
We are so back, aren't we? What a show. I know we've just had a little chat there about which semi-final is the strongest, but let's not compare the two. This show was the show we got, and what a show it was. For me, it had everything. It had strong ballads. It had a bit of quirkiness. It had solid, chart-ready pop music. I can't fault it. No notes.
And it had an incredible opening. It had incredible intervals as well. Johnny Logan performing Euphoria. Such a brilliant moment on the Eurovision stage. The opener we got, of course, with Eleni Ferreira and Eric Sada and Chanel. And then your best pal, after your chat on yesterday's podcast, Benjamin Ingrosso brings the house down.
He really did. I think he's about to come, well, not your best pal, but certainly your man crush. You are absolutely obsessed with Benjamin Ingrosso, Rob. And rightly so. He is just the consummate professional. I think the standard for semi-final interval acts was set last year with Rita Ora. What a great get that was from the BBC. And this year, SVT have raised the bar once again with Sweden's biggest and most relevant pop star. What a show that was.
I don't know what the Swedish equivalent of WH Smith is. I hope they have a bargain bucket somewhere and it's not too late to get my hands on a Benjamin Ingrosso 2024 calendar at some sort of discount. Fingers crossed I can get a hold of that. But I don't know if you could hear it, by the way, earlier on when we were just chatting there a couple of minutes ago. You could hear the delegation celebrating their qualification for the final. There is just a curtain that separates us journalists here in the media centre with the delegation bubble, which is also where the dressing rooms are. So the artists have just come off stage. They're celebrating. But as we said, some of them are celebrating, of course, but some of them, unfortunately, heartbreaking for them, as this is where their Eurovision journey ends. The big headline, though, and where I think we should start, has to be Ireland.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think a lot of the buzz here in the press centre and with a lot of dedicated fans, perhaps like you listening at home, has been around Ireland, has been around Bambi Thug, ever since they won that national final in that very small, cramped, late studio.
I would love to see a side-by-side of Bambi Thug's late show performance and then what Bambi was able to do on the Eurovision stage.
Just an incredible performance. I think we might have teased it in yesterday's episode where we'd already seen their performance in that first dress rehearsal, and it was like, now you've seen it at home, like nothing else we've ever seen on that Eurovision stage. Something is happening every single second. It's so artistic. The vocals were great. Just the twist as it goes from this dark performance into the light performance, the costume change, it really had it all.
And Michael Keeley, Ireland's head of delegation, who was on the podcast yesterday, I think he's going to have a good night's sleep.
Did you see him as well? He was in the green room, and you might have seen it if you have to watch it back. He's sitting on the left-hand side of your screen. He had a Crown the Witch t-shirt on, and then he had some black horns and some black, eyeshadow on to sort of try and blend in a bit.
I do love the idea as well that somebody somewhere tonight is going to have to lend Michael Keeley some makeup wipes before he goes to bed. Anyway, Ireland in the grand final for the first time since 2018, and fingers crossed, so we can get Michael Keeley back on the podcast. He promised, didn't he? Said if they qualify, then he'd come back on and preview Ireland's appearance in the final. So hopefully, over the next few days here on the pod, we'll do just that.
Rob, one second, because I've just seen somebody running through the press centre. Tina Merifson, welcome back to the Eurotrip.
Thank you.
This is your debut on a Eurotrip episode. You've been on Melfest Monday plenty of times, but now Eurovision. You are one of Sweden's Eurovision commentators. How does that feel?
Oh, it's been very warm because my commentator booth has absolutely no oxygen, but it's been thrilling. It was so much fun. I love being live, so it was great.
Because you're not up like in the gods where all the other commentators are. Tell us why.
Well, that is because my co-commentator, Edward, who also directs the show, he needs to be able to run back and forth. So he runs from backstage to the commentary booth, and that's why we're located on the arena floor.
What's it like working with Edward? Because he's written it, he's directed it. I mean, what else has he done? He just does everything, right?
He does everything, but he is also a very gentle, warm, positive, like, he's such an energetic person. I'm in complete awe because, you know, Eurovision for me as well, I'm not that old. So for me, I've had a relationship with Edward through his... I mean, he has done Eurovision what Eurovision is for me in my heart because of his commentaries before that. So it is... a huge honour.
I know you're a media professional, of course, but is it a bit surreal to be sitting alongside Edward? Because you've grown up with him, you've listened to him and all that sort of thing.
Yeah, I need to pinch myself in the arm constantly. Maybe I'll just do it right now as well, because I'm on Eurotrip podcast. Come on, man. I'm pinching.
You're going to be in the commentary box again Thursday and Saturday, right?
That is correct.
Are you looking forward to the grand final? I mean, that's, in Sweden, your home country, you're getting to commentate on the grand final of Eurovision. That's like a dream come true.
Yes, no pressure. No, but I am genuinely nervous, but also looking forward to it. Of course, but it will be like high tension. It will be so exciting to see what happens during the finals.
Oh, Tina, it's been great to catch up. I'm sure we'll catch you again later in the week.
Of course. Calleth you, cometh I.
Fantastic to have Tina on the podcast. That was lovely.
I just saw her and I caught her out the corner of my eye.
Off she goes. She's heading off to her hotel room now, hopefully for a long sleep.
She's got plenty to do. Let's chat about some other countries. Croatia is, I reckon, the country that won the semi-final tonight. We'll not find out until the early hours of Sunday. 100% televote, of course, as it has been since last year. I mean, just what a performance. We're watching here in the press centre, as we keep saying, but perhaps you got that feeling at home. The arena was buzzing, wasn't it?
You could see from the arena, they were all doing the choreo as well. I don't know if you could see, obviously, when you go into the arena, I think they give you a wristband with a light on, and you could see that when Baby Lasagna was doing his choreo, especially doing his symbolic, iconic's probably the word, his iconic arm choreo. I don't know how best to describe it. I'm not a choreographer, but you know what I mean. But they were all doing it along with him. And it shows how invested everyone is in the song, how much everyone is enjoying it, and how, as you've already said, he could very well be a televote winner. It could very well be a Eurovision winner.
Yeah, we should say, if you can hear some like bubbly music in the background, there's just a holding screen as the press conference for the 10 qualifiers is about to start. But just another quick word on Croatia, because I mentioned it's a 100% televote, and it does sound like a very televote-friendly song, so perhaps it's going to pick up quite a lot of votes in the final. But what I think we should consider is whether or not it will do well with the juries, because I was having a conversation with a Eurovision songwriter, somebody who has written one of the songs in this year's competition, and I asked them, what's your favourite song this year? And they told me that it was Baby Lasagna for Croatia. I was a bit surprised because I thought it was very televote friendly, but was it jury friendly? And they told me yes, but yes, it's a fun song, yes, it's a quirky song, but from a songwriter's point of view, these songs are hard to write. It's easy to write a fun song that's a bit naff, but to write a fun and quirky song that can capture the imagination of people, that can really capture the moment, is difficult. So perhaps we will see a strong jury score from them on Saturday as well.
100% a contender to take home the Eurovision crown on Saturday. Mention it as well, another contender. Talk about Ukraine. They have qualified again. They keep their 100% qualification record for the Eurovision Grand Final. I got a text from my wife who said, and this is a litmus test, she's watching at home, she's watching on the sofa back in our flat in London. She said, Ukraine, dark horse to win the Eurovision Song Contest. Callum, do you agree?
Yeah, when you said you got a text from your wife saying how much she loved it, I got a text from a friend. I'm just trying to find it now. Simply says, Ukraine is stunning, .. love it. So there is consensus that this is a real strong contender for the win on Saturday.
But it should come as no surprise that Ukraine will do very well in the televote on Saturday.
Yeah, let me just take this quickly outside because the press conference is just starting, so probably still a little bit quieter. But yeah, as you say, no surprise that that Ukraine qualified to the final with that 100% qualification record. Up until tonight, they were the only country to have that. But now, Luxembourg competing in a semi-final for the very first time. There are now two countries with a 100% qualification record.
So great, wasn't it, to see Luxembourg back in the final? And also, first thing, we made a realisation, or at least I made a realisation during that semi-final, that actually I was alive the last time that Luxembourg competed in the Eurovision Song Contest Grand Final. I was 4 months old. But also a lovely touch, wasn't it, that they left Luxembourg to become the last qualifier. They were the 10th qualifier that we saw in the show.
A really nice touch. Really keeps them keeps them watching. You know, it's been a 31-year wait. Might as well keep them waiting a little bit longer. I'm in a stat mood. I know I just gave you another one, but let me give you another one.
Strap yourself in, everyone.
That was the first Eurovision semi-final where the songs from 1 to 5 in the running order all qualified to the grand final. It's never happened before, songs 1 to 5. Another stat for you there.
Are we finally putting to bed? I know this is obviously talked about a lot in the grand final. Are we putting to bed the fact that number 2 in the running order is a bad slot?
I don't have my spreadsheet on me.
Oh, come on.
But I think until tonight, I think number 3 in the semi-final running order was actually the worst position to be in. I'll double check that for you as we go around and get some more reaction, and I'll confirm it later on.
Well, Lithuania managed to qualify from that 3rd spot in the semi-final this evening. So we've talked about some of the countries that have gone through. Some of the countries are going to be absolutely heartbroken. Australia, we'll talk about them a little bit more. Hopefully we'll get some reaction a little bit later. James, you spoke to Electric Fields on our road to Eurovision the last few weeks, obviously, as we've been building up to being here in Malmö. You had a lovely chat and you knew how much they wanted this.
Yeah, I mean, it's super tough on the pair from Electric Fields. It was a great conversation for us a few weeks ago here on the podcast. And, you know, their performance tonight, there certainly wasn't any problems with it necessarily. Anyway, I'm just walking back into the press centre to see if I can catch up with somebody from Aussie Vision to get a bit of reaction from them. Liv from Aussie Vision, hello. Is it disappointing not to have Australia back in the final?
I mean, obviously. But, like, you know, these things happen. I've gone and watched it back, and it was fabulous. So clearly, it was a strong year. We just didn't quite make it, but, you know, I'm really proud of them. They did something really special, and, yeah, they're fighters, and I'm really proud of them. And we have Syria, so we still have an Aussie in the final. That's amazing.
There is still some positivity then, because for Cyprus, first out tonight, they did get to the final, so you do have a bit of Aussie representation.
Absolutely. I'm buying a nice Cypriot flag this afternoon.
We were chatting just a little bit earlier on the podcast about how maybe is this NQ a little bit tougher to take than 2021, because, you know, last time for Montaigne, she wasn't there at the contest. It was live on tape. This year, it's, you know, it's a proper contest for Australia. So it's a bit tougher to take.
I mean, it's apples with apples this time, you know. We were on stage, we put together a full thing and it looked fabulous and we didn't make it. So, yeah, it's a hard pill to swallow and I'm really sad right now, but it happens, you know. I just got to toughen up and be like all the European countries because, you know, everyone else is used to not qualifying. I'm just not used to this, you know.
Nice to see a didgeridoo finally from Australia. You've been in it since 2015. Why is it taking you so long?
Don't know, man, but it's a pretty epic sound, isn't it?
What next for Australia, do you think? You know, we've had a couple of those NQs now, so I guess you're getting into the rhythm of being a real Eurovision nation, ups and downs. What next?
I want some really feral Aussie hard style. I feel like we could do that.
Well, let's mark our cards for that one and see what we get in 2024. Liv, nice to catch up.
Absolutely great, Channing.
Really, really tough on Australia not making it through to the Eurovision Grand Final. Second time, as we said, that they won't be in the Grand Final. First time since 2021. Some breaking news. We've got some breaking news here on the podcast. Breaking news for us, not breaking news at the time that you're listening to this.
Yes, please. I hear it is about the running order for the Grand Final.
Yes, indeed. So it's taking place on Reddit. I don't really know what that means, but we now know the positions, or at least whereabouts in the grand final, the countries that have qualified tonight have drawn.
Yeah, so this is either the first half, the second half, or new for 2024, the producer's choice, which means the producer can put them in the first half or the second half, basically anywhere they want in the grand final.
So I will run through them very quickly now. So Serbia, Teodora, has drawn producer's choice. Portugal, producer's choice. Slovenia, second half. Lithuania, first half. Finland, second half. Cyprus, second half. Croatia, baby lasagna, producer's choice, very interesting. Ireland and Bambi Thug, first half. A lot of countries drawing first half. And finally, Luxembourg's Tally has also drawn first half for Saturday's grand final.
Yeah, I think the countries that are in the second semi-final on Thursday might be fancying their chances a little bit more with a few more second half slots available. How many are there, James? How many second half slots are available?
I was going to say, should we fact check that? James has been doing his best. We are recording this on the fly. We're giving you all the reaction as it happens. TBC. But from my mind bank, I think there's quite a lot of slots left in the second half.
Yeah, leave it with me. I've forgotten. I had to fact check something else before, which I need to come back to. But I'll tell you what, I'll do all of that. I think Callum's getting some reaction to Luxembourg getting themselves to the Eurovision Grand Final for the first time since 1993. Yes, that's absolutely right. This is a very unique and new situation for us this year because, like we say, Luxembourg are in the Grand Final of the Eurovision Song Contest. We're going to get a quick bit of reaction from Vanessa, a journalist from Luxembourg. How does this feel to know Luxembourg are in the Grand Final?
It's crazy because I never experienced it. I'm 34 now, so I'm now at the age where I can watch or enjoy the contest. So after 31 years, it's something new. Like, I don't know it. So it's quite a new experience. So that's my reaction. I'm kind of nervous and the adrenaline is kicking. So I just finished writing my article. So everything is, crazy.
But the overriding emotion is happiness, right?
Yeah, I guess so. And like with the last country being announced, it was really suspense and like, oh no, what's my title? Is she going to go to the final or not? Do I have to change it or not? So
Your heart, as well as Tally's heart, must have been beating very, very fast. Tell me, back home in Luxembourg, how is this news going to go down?
I don't know yet, because the feelings were a bit, how do you say, they want to show about her to all the people in Luxembourg. Stop hating people and just be happy that we are back at the ESC.
Absolutely. She is a great performer, no doubt about it. One last question. I know you're very busy. You're working very hard. Can you predict what might happen on Saturday night? What would be a good result in your eyes for Luxembourg in the Grand Final?
As I don't have any experience, I don't think that she's going to win. Like, personally, there are other favourites that you can hear and see the resonance everywhere. But even this big step is like, I didn't expect it. So it's already really, really good. But I don't know what a good result is.
Well, we'll keep our fingers crossed. It's great to see Luxembourg back and they deserve the best this year. So best of luck to Luxembourg.
Thank you. Best of luck to best luck to the United Kingdom as well.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
When you aren't listening, find us on social media at Eurotrip Podcast on Twitter and Instagram.
So we've taken a breath. The press conference for the 10 qualifiers has just finished, and I have found the happiest people in the media centre. I think they were the happiest people in the arena as well. Alex and Connor from Eurovision and Michal from Eurovision Hub. I'm just going to sit the mic in the middle just to get the emotion from you guys. A noise that you made when you were in the arena?
A noise like that has never left my body. I was like, Jesus, Michal, where did that come from?
You sound like Bambi in the last 30 seconds of the performance. Yeah. In that, like, really embodies this whole week. Like every day it's gotten more and more visceral from us. It's crazy.
Let's like step back. The very start of this journey with Bambi, we mentioned it on the start of this episode. If somebody is able to put together, maybe it's something for you guys to do, the side-by-side, maybe you've done it already, the side-by-side of that Eurovision performance versus the performance in the Late Late studio. I mean, there have been songs that have really evolved and then succeeded at Eurovision, but this is a whole other level.
I know it is. And really, it is down to Bambi. Like, when you see what Eurosong was for what they were working with, it was pretty good. But I think the potential there is what the Irish public obviously saw and voted for, and the jury as well in Ireland. Like, I'm so glad that they backed it. They're the ones who sent it here today. And then to see that this is all Bambi. This is Team Bambi, and they're very small, as they said, all week. Team that have made this happen since day one. They've worked so hard on this, which is why we're so bloody proud.
You're all kind of emotional. Like, Connie, you're shaking your head. You, I don't think you can still comprehend what's happened.
Where am I? Where's my voice? It's crazy. You know, who would have thought going into Mom? Like, look, we were very confident about Bambi. Even before they were announced for Eurosong, we loved them and we loved what they were doing, but who could have comprehended the amount of support that they've gathered since Eurosong, since they've arrived here and the performance was shared with people? And honestly, like Alex said, it's testament to Bambi the artist. It is so important that Ireland now gets behind this act and support them. We saw it with Eurosong, but the general public, that priest down in Cork who was giving out about them, get the people in, you know, crying the witch in the church, you know. That's what we got to do. And honestly, I'm just sitting here in awe of them, the team, and our little country.
Do you remember that conversation we had in Liverpool? We were sat in a position not too dissimilar to this in the media centre in Liverpool. It was the day after Wild Youth had gone home. Could you have ever imagined that in 12 months' time, this would be where you're at, where Ireland are at? And people are talking about Ireland, not just as a qualifier, people are talking about Ireland as a potential Eurovision winner.
Jesus, Rob, don't do that to me now after that. Like, I can't deal. No, I literally was only thinking about it on the way here. Funny enough, I was thinking, God, the growth that we've had in a year already. But I think the most important thing going forward, a lot of it is down to Bambi. But what the Eurovision RTE team can take from it is what they've learned from this experience. Getting a qualification, seeing the social media interaction that they've had. They can learn from that and see that it worked for them. You know, the Irish public, the RTE socials are going crazy for Eurovision content. So that's what I think is beneficial to the team itself. They can learn from this and take it forward into next year. Even executives in RTE can think now of, oh wow, Eurovision is an interest to the Irish public, and open up the door to artists, to the public, for a better national final, a proper national final. I think the most important thing, take everything you've learned from 2024 and bring it into 2025.
You ever thought about getting into politics, Connor? That was very good.
The hand was waving, the voice was coming back. Yeah, no, God, no.
But that just shows how passionate you are, how passionate the Irish fans are for the Eurovision Song Contest, and rightly so. And finally, you have something that you can be proud of.
Can I just say, like, our OJE community is massive in Ireland, by the way. It's grown. It's one of the most high-growing OJE groups in the world, I believe. And what we've noticed in the last year, 100%, is we've seen the fan community grow. And in the last, like, 5 years, the act hasn't reflected that. And that's no diss to them. It's just really nice to see that growing community is now hand in hand with a fantastic act as well. So Dublin 2025, watch out.
Micheál, are we going to Dublin? Is that happening?
We're going to Derry. Nadine Coyle's hosting along with Dana. We have Derry girls in the green room. I'll do a song if they want. Remember your passports.
Imagine. I'm not going to ask the question, what would a good result be in the grand final? Because that's a silly question, because you're pleased to be there and it's great to be on the... And it's great to be part of the Saturday night show. But Alex, you want more than that?
I want to win. I mean, Bambi has made it clear since day one. And I think that's what's gotten them the qualification, right? Is they didn't go into it as, okay, I'm thinking about, I just want the qualification. It's no, I want to win. And look, to be in the conversation, we're just happy for that, right? But I think a top 10 result is actually very doable for us. What do you guys think?
No, like, on the train down here from Stockholm to Eurovision, it was like, oh, I really hope we qualify. A day later, it was like, oh, it seems like we will qualify. Hours later, it's, oh, we're jumping on the odds, and now we're having this conversation about Dublin 2025. It's just so new to us, but I just, as Connor said, it sends a really strong message to the Irish public, a strong message to RTE that if a bit of effort is put in, if you have an artist who really wants it, then look at the results. So I love the message it sends. And I, as you were saying, the fan community in Ireland has been growing. And I feel like, as you said, it wasn't reflecting it. And I think the music now, we're seeing a new Ireland musically. This is a progressive Ireland with Bambi as our representative. This is the Ireland that I recognise. I didn't recognise our previous, I didn't recognise Ireland on our previous entry, so this is a reset, one that was well needed.
This mood right here, I just want to bottle it and take it with me everywhere I go. Guys, congratulations, you're in the grand final, and I can say this now to the three of you, good luck for Saturday!
Yay! We've never heard that.
We've never heard that before.
Like, to our faces at a Eurovision, so this is wild. I said to you earlier, Rob, I was like, what do we do now? Because usually we choose another country to support. I'm like, oh, let's get my Swedish flag. And now I'm like...
Yeah, we pre-prepare. I had a Belgian flag pre-prepared last year. Yeah. And like outfits planned around it. That's terrible, but right. It's true.
Put them back in the case.
They are. They're going back. It's Team Bambi all the way.
Crying the witch. Crying the witch.
Crown the witch indeed. I'm just sat over here in the far corner of the press centre, right next to where the delegation bubble is, which we can hear the artists doing their warm-ups beforehand. But what I've just been hearing after the press conference came to an end was what sounded like the entire Irish delegation and more also shouting, crown the witch, crown the witch. It's going to become the new Eurovision slogan. Rob's made his way back over. Sounded like a great chat you had with the three of them from Ireland.
I don't know what you two are doing after this, and I don't know how this podcast is going to make it to your podcast feeds in time for you to listen to it in the morning, because I think I might go out with those three, because the sense of excitement and just pure joy, it's just fantastic, isn't it? We are so lucky. Obviously, the three of us are from the United Kingdom. We never have to go through our country qualifying for a grand final. We never have to go through a grand final without our country taking part. Ireland haven't had a representative in that grand final since 2018. It's a long time. And you could hear there just what it meant to them all.
Yeah, in terms of the competition, that is the big story from the night, really. While Rob was doing that chat there, I was deep into the spreadsheets. I was getting those facts and figures, doing all of that fact-checking, which you'll be pleased to hear, Rob.
I know that we've got a few things that we need to go through here. So you have fired up the spreadsheet. James, over to you.
Right, let me start with the running order. You were taking us through the first half, second half, or the producer's choice that tonight's qualifiers have been given. So now for semi-final two, there's going to be 10 more qualifiers. But none of them are going to pull out the words that say first half. What that may sound like on the surface is nobody else is going to be in the first half, but there are still 7 slots for producer's choice left. So there could be some more performers to go into that first half, but there's also 2 of those slips that'll say second half. So potentially if you think the second half in the grand final is more valuable, there's only 2 countries that are guaranteed to be in that second half.
Well, from what you've said there, that first half, at the time that we're talking now, pretty front-loaded. So it'd be very interesting to see what Krista Bjorkman, who, of course, we spoke to here on the podcast a few days ago, the contest producer, it'd be very interesting to see what him and the rest of his team do with the countries and where everyone gets positioned. And I'm already excited for whatever time it's going to be, 1 a.m. Friday morning or whenever it is we find out that full grand final running order.
Yeah, they're all big performers as well. We opened the show with Sweden, Marcus Martinez. We've then got Germany, Ireland, who we've been talking a lot about, Lithuania, Luxembourg, and the United Kingdom's Ollie Alexander. They're huge performers all for that first half.
I know that we've got some producers' choices still in the mix, as you said there. Going to make an early call. I think Luxembourg could be a contender for song number 2, but we can come back to that later on in the week.
Ooh, an interesting suggestion.
James disagrees, you can tell from the tone of his voice.
Potentially. No, I thought I would do a little bit about second and third in the running order for semi-finals, because you were chatting about it before. I think you were suggesting that second place in the running order is perhaps the worst place to perform. We kind of know it is for the grand finals. It's known as like the death slot, if you will. But in semi-finals in Eurovision, until tonight and after tonight, because second and third both went through to the grand final, they both have the joint worst qualification record out of all those positions that are currently active in those semi-final running orders, with just a, I'm going to get down to the granular detail here, 37.14% of a qualifying rate from Eurovision history.
You're not going to hear that on any other podcast, I promise. You are not going to hear percentages to that level of detail on any other Eurovision podcast.
Well, exactly. That's what I'm here for. That's why I've got the spreadsheet. And just to quickly wrap up this boring segment that everyone is desperately skipping through.
Not boring whatsoever. We're all enjoying it. Callum can barely get a word in edgeways. Callum, you having a nice time?
I'm having a great time. The percentage, the granular detail. I feel like I'm on Countdown at this point. But let me just wrap it up. As I say, second and third in the running order for semi-finals. Statistically, the joint worst positions to perform in. And tonight was only the fifth semi-final in Eurovision history since, of course, 2004, where both of those positions qualified to the grand final. So it gives you an idea about how irregular those positions actually are. And then just to look ahead to semi-final two on Thursday, second and third in the running order are Albania, so it's Besser with Titan, and then Greece, Marina Sati. So I mean, it looks unlikely that the two of them will both get through to the final, but we will see.
But we saw it happen tonight, so it could happen on Thursday. That's what we've just learned from James Rowe's stat attack, which maybe is a feature we'll be bringing to the Eurotrip podcast later in the week here in Malmö, or indeed maybe not. I appreciate that was a lot for you all to take in. James, you have posted some of those stats on your own social media if people want to go back and take in, to quote your phrase, the granular detail.
Yes, indeed. I endeavour to bring even more later in the week.
When you aren't listening, find us on social media at Eurotrip Podcast on Twitter and Instagram.
Oh, shall we take a breath then? We have gone through the qualifiers. We have mentioned the countries that are unfortunately going home. But as well as the 10 qualifiers that we saw this evening, in the grand final, we will see Ollie Alexander and the United Kingdom. We will see him perform for the second time, because Ollie performed in that first semi-final. Some drama during Ollie's performance in that first semi-final.
Yeah, if you were an eagle-eyed viewer at home, you might have caught this. But two-thirds of the way through Ollie's performance, he was quite slow into one of the dance moves that he sort of leans back, arches over himself and sticks his tongue out. He's quite slow into that move. And then when he reappeared from that move, he realised that his mic pack off the back of his pants had come loose, and he had to hold it during the rest of the performance. A lot of people didn't realise that at home, which shows just how much of a professional Ollie is. A lot of people could not deal with that, but because he is so professional and he has so much experience, he dealt with it like a pro.
That aside, what you will have seen on your TV screens, or indeed here in Malmö, or maybe watching in the village, is the UK's staging. It's unique. It's unlike anything we've ever seen at the Eurovision Song Contest. There's one person responsible for that, and that person is Theo Adams.
Yeah, this performance from Ollie is, I mean, it's great for Eurovision, but also if you just think back to the UK's performances over the last 5 to 10 years, unbelievable that it's the UK that are delivering this visual on stage.
Can I say as well, it feels quite apt that this has happened in the same semi-final, obviously Ollie performing this evening. This happened in the same semi-final that another country didn't qualify, in Poland. The person that was doing their staging this evening, same person that did Embers for James Newman. It feels quite apt. I don't know, maybe. But yeah, unbelievable. Never seen before at the Eurovision Song Contest. And as I mentioned, the person responsible for that is Theo Adams. Now, Theo is, well, do we even need to say who Theo Adams is? Because we have got a Eurotrip exclusive. You know we love bringing you these here on the podcast, and we have been fortunate enough to have a decent chunk of time with Theo here in Malmö. We find out the inspiration for the United Kingdom staging this year. We find out just how early plans were put in place for what was initially a secret project to take Ollie Alexander to the Eurovision Song Contest. It also has a very, very fun name, which we will get to. So enjoy this. This is a brilliant insight into the UK and Eurovision and how everything is coming together ahead of what will be a huge performance for Ollie, a huge performance for the United Kingdom on Saturday night. So Theo Adams, welcome to the Eurotrip.
Hi, how are you?
I am very good, Theo. I'm very good because I'm speaking to you, and this is your first Eurovision experience. Well, first Eurovision experience working on the other side of things.
On the other side, yeah. It's the first time. I've wanted to do it for a very long time, and I am very happy that it's finally happened.
Because you're a big Eurovision fan, right?
I've been a Eurovision fan since I was, like, 4 years old. I was quite a bizarre child. Yeah, I would, like, record it on VHS and watch it while other kids were, you know, watching, you know, kids' TV Blue Peter. I was watching Eurovision's back. And, yeah, so it feels right that I'm finally here.
You bring all that experience of everything you've seen since you were four into this?
Yeah, it's a bit bizarre, but I don't know, I love it, so I'm happy.
Well, if we go back 12 months, so Liverpool 2023, you were there? I think you were there for the grand final?
I was there for the grand final. I was lucky that someone that was working on it got me tickets. So I was there. I witnessed it all. It was one of the best nights of my life. I loved it.
Could you have imagined then that you would be here today, here in Malmö, and obviously doing everything that you are doing with the BBC and with Ollie?
Well, there's been talks of us doing something for a few years, so I always knew it was on the card. So there was something in the back of my head for a little while now, knowing that 1 year it might happen. But I'm just thrilled that it's finally happening, yeah.
And how long had those discussions been going on for between you and the BBC? How close did you get, I suppose, in those years before now?
Well, we were, like, Ollie was, there were meetings happening a couple of years ago.
I think this was 2022.
2022, but we just didn't have the right song. We were about to go on tour. There was a lot happening. And obviously, Sam Ryder, like, did the most incredible job. And thank God he did it. And I'm glad that we didn't do it then, to be honest, because I feel like now we're ready and we know what we're doing this time. So, yeah.
Before we talk about what people have seen, before we talk about the performance, we talk about you and Ollie. How far back do you and Ollie go? Because you've been working together for a long time, and it's more than just a professional relationship. You know, you guys, presumably, you get on really, really well, and otherwise you wouldn't work together.
Yeah, 100%. I think with all artists that I work with, I'm kind of friends with them. It's always through, like, a friend of a friend, or someone suggests me. Or so with Ollie, his stylist at the time, I've actually been working with for a decade or something, and he told Ollie, oh, you should meet my friend, I think it would be good. And then a few months later we were doing the Brits. So remind
everyone, I think we've been telling a lot of people on the podcast that Theo Adams is responsible for Ollie Alexander staging, and Theo was responsible for obviously that iconic Brit Awards performance with Elton John back in 2021, is that right?
Yeah, it was during COVID. I remember that.
That whole blur of a time.
Yeah, it was a very odd time. But yeah, that was the first time that I'd staged a performance for Ollie. And then we've been working together ever since, really.
And give us a quick reminder about some of the other artists that you've worked with as well, because some huge names.
Well, I mean, I come from more of a kind of art and fashion background, and I have a company of dancers and singers and performers, and we've been doing our own stuff and brand collaborations. And then I got into music in, when was it, 2018? Because an artist that I've known for years called FKA Twigs, she got me on board to do her tour. And then after that, I did a lot of stuff with Paloma, Ollie, Kylie.
I was going to say a bit of Kylie in there.
Yeah, a lot with Kylie, a lot of fun. Jessie Ware. I mean, there's a lot of people. But it's always like an organic, fun thing. There's a lot I say no to. Just no one. You can't just rent me.
You can't say yes to everything.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So fast forward then to 2024. You said you watched the grand final in Liverpool. You were there. I understand, by the way, someone sneaking a bottle of Prosecco for you in Liverpool.
They did. That was quite fab. I got quite drunk, but I loved it. Yeah.
How you have to do Eurovision?
Exactly. Yeah, glass was not allowed, but I had it. Yeah. So, don't tell anyone.
Oh no. We won't say any names. We won't say who got you the Prosecco. That's all fine. So then here we are in Malmö, of course. When did you and Ollie and the Eurovision thing start to happen? When did those talks begin?
It was kind of summer, I think. That's when I heard that things were back on the table and songs were being made. They were there was quite a few songs, but they're for Ollie's album. Nothing was made for Eurovision. So I had kind of like little inklings that it could potentially happen. But I think it was in October when Ollie phoned me up and was like, okay, we're doing it. Sort itself out. We need to work out what we're going to do.
Tell us about that phone call.
Well, it was just like, it's happening. And I was like, oh, I can't swear, can I?
You can if you want.
Oh, shit. Yeah. I've been basically working on this since October.
But it was a bit of a secret project to begin with. You had to try and keep things under wraps.
So essentially, we had to have meetings at Ollie's manager's house so no one could overhear what was happening. There was a project code name. It was Project Cauliflower. I didn't come up with that one. But it was actually a very exciting period in this project because I've never really been doing anything before that had, you know, such secrecy surrounding it, and I felt like I was a spy or something.
It's that thing where you're fearful of leaving a folder on a train or something like that.
Exactly, it really was. And, you know, when we were emailing each other or texting, no one could use the word Eurovision. So yeah, it was quite wild. But yeah, when it was finally announced, it was kind of a relief and kind of a disappointment.
Did you have any influence on the song choice? Obviously, Ollie is performing Dizzy at Eurovision. Everybody knows the song. But obviously, when you're working on the whole package, working on what you will take to Eurovision, it's obviously important that you are in at the ground level and you are there to help influence decisions. So were you part of that decision to go with Dizzy, or were there other songs that were discussed?
I was sent quite a few songs, and I made like a short list of like, I think you should go for one of these ones, but I was definitely not one of the people making a decision. I think that came from the BBC, but I'm not sure.
But even from that point on, I suppose, so from the first time you heard Dizzy, do ideas start forming?
Yeah, for me, like, it all comes from the song and the music. So, you know, I hear it and then I start seeing pictures in my head. That's the way I've always worked. I don't really have like a bank of ideas. And I was like, oh, that one will be good for that, or that will be good for that. It has to come kind of organically. And yeah, so it started with that. I started to picture ideas in my head. Then I'm a very visual person, so I gather kind of reference images, but I gather kind of thousands, and then I put them together in a collage. So it's not really, I never want to reference something directly, but almost if you put like 100 images on one page and then squint your eyes, that's what I want it to be, if that makes sense.
No, I think that makes sense.
Yeah, so it started like that, and then we did I was like in a call with the Swedish team where they explain the stage.
So this is when you get to find out, I suppose, what you are and aren't allowed to do?
Exactly, yeah. And from that, then things started to develop further. And I kind of, when I see something and I learn what the rules are, I'm like, okay, how can we twist this? What is everyone else going to do? How can we make this stand out? And that's kind of the process of how we've got to where we've got.
One of the biggest things that people watching at home will now have seen, people here in Malmö, of course, will have seen as well, is the stage. Mm-hmm. How much of an influence on what you have decided to do with the UK and with Dizzy this year was based on what you saw you could do and the capabilities with the stage? Or did you decide to do your own thing?
I decided to do my own thing, but I feel like, you know, Eurovision is a five-hour show, and it's a five-hour show on the same stage. So we've got 3 minutes using the same stage as everyone else. So I kind of take it from there and like, okay, how can we make this stage not look like this stage for 3 minutes?
And how hard is the balance then for, and it's a unique Eurovision challenge, the balance between TV and the stage, the arena? Because obviously what fans see in the arena who are here in Malmö, very different to what people are going to see on TV.
Yeah.
And it seems that there is a bit of both, but it's very very TV orientated.
Well, there's like, I mean, I don't know the exact numbers, but I know it's something between 160 million to 200 million people.
I don't think anyone really knows the figures there. It's a different figure every year.
Okay, yeah. I've been told very... But it's a lot of people, right? And they're the majority of the people that are going to vote. So, you know, I've done big arena festival tours for Ollie, and we have staged that in a very different way than we have staged this, because we have staged this quite specifically for TV, and that is a creative choice, but hopefully people in the room will still enjoy it.
I was in the room yesterday, I very much still enjoyed it, definitely.
Okay, good. Yeah, that was a worry, but at the same time, it's like, you know, it's a TV show at the end of the day, and we want to make like the best 3 minutes of TV we can possibly make.
And where are the votes going to come from? They're going to come from people watching on TV.
Yeah.
So talk to us about the idea then, the inspiration, I suppose. People have now seen it. They've seen it in full. It's had a lot of praise on social media. Where did that inspiration begin? You've kind of talked us through a little bit the process that you go through when it comes up, when it's about coming up with ideas. But this specific idea, this specific staging, how did that inspiration come about?
I mean, it really developed over several months. It wasn't just a, okay, we want to make a post-apocalyptic dystopian boxing gym locker room hurtling towards space through a black hole in 1985 straight away.
Would have been impressive if you come up with that in a day.
No, yeah, exactly. But it's more that we had a process of like 3 months developing these ideas. And then at the end, we took a step back and it's like, what have we made here? And that's what we came up with. That's when we realized, okay, that's what it is. And then when we tell everyone else and they see it, they go, oh no, you actually have done that. It came from the stage really, and like how we can make the stage look different. So I knew I kind of wanted to box it in. I know the song's called Dizzy. I knew that the first thing everyone would be expecting would be some sort of like rotating platform, which being such a Eurovision fan, I know has been done many, many times at Eurovision, sometimes successfully, sometimes not so successfully. So I just wanted to reject that and do something that hopefully no one's seen at Eurovision before. I'm not a complete expert. You can tell me.
I don't think anyone's ever seen anything like this before.
Well, I hope so. That was like one of the ambitions. But yeah, so what we had to, the way the box kind of came about was that with what we're doing, we knew that we needed the ceiling and the floor to be exactly the same. I wanted something that had some kind of lighting element, which basically means we can pre-program, you know, 2.5 minutes of worth of our performance in London that we have complete control over, that we can come and they can just plug it in. And then I wanted something that's kind of like a quite sci-fi, quite clean look, that floor and ceiling, that I wanted something on the sides that would counteract that, that didn't look totally different. So I knew I wanted the tiles of the floor to repeat, but I wanted the tiles on the sides to be as grotty and disgusting, essentially, as possible.
There's so much attention to detail with all of this.
Yeah, I'm a bit mental like that, sorry.
No. I think it's brilliant. I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, so that's kind of like how we built the room. And then I realized, okay, what is this room now? It's tiled and it's grotty. And then we did a scene in Ollie's tour where we brought a whole line of public toilets on the stage, and they were kind of grotty and gringy and tiled, and we're like, okay, what's the continuation of that? So we are kind of continuing a line of where we've gone before and kind of amplifying that even more with what Eurovision can provide. Technically it's super risky and complex and tricky, and like both camera wise but even just the set, it was like we were having conversations with the set builders at certain points. I just felt like I'm speaking to NASA here or something, because Eurovision has such strict restrictions over size and weight. So you know, we have to build this thing and get it on stage in 40 seconds and have, you know, and it, for it to be light enough for people to be able to push it on, which was super challenging. We got there.
Did you have to change anything?
We've gone through a lot of iterations of this room, but I feel like we haven't compromised. I feel like we've got to a point where like we're all still like super happy with the visual.
And what was it like looping Ollie in with the idea? How early was Ollie involved in the decisions around the staging?
So what I will always do with an artist is like they will send me the song, I'll go away, and then I do that thing where I gather all these images, kind of put them into different
things. And squint and
Yeah, exactly. Then I break it down into kind of styling and then movement, choreography, camera work, and like break down basically every element of a performance. Then I present it to him and then we just have a big meeting, discuss it, go through it, and then we go.
What's it like now that vision is out there? Now the public have seen it, everyone's seen it. What's that like?
Well, this is a lie because we filmed this, we're recording this the day before, so I actually have no idea. So I'm actually petrified right now because I have no idea whether I'm about to be cancelled, whether people are going to hate me. I know it's risky. I know it's not for everyone, but I hope it's like a moment that will be remembered for like many years. I hope it's something that, you know, in 5 years when they do another like love, peace kind of thing, they'll do a parody and there'll be like people upside down with black tongues, you know, so.
Well, we can only hope.
Well, hopefully, fingers crossed, yeah.
And then Thea, where will you be on Saturday?
I'm going to be going down with the dancers, finishing their tongue makeup just before they go on, and then we'll all go up together to the green room, I think. But it's very hot up there. So
is it?
It is like it's literally like being in a sauna.
I suppose you were at the very top of the arena, aren't you?
Yeah, I was there last night and it was tough, but we're going to get some fans. So hopefully we'll be all right.
Comfy seat?
No, it's all right. Yeah, the seat's fine. I need a hand fan or something. And I'm probably going to be wearing a wig. And then that's going to be even hotter. So yeah, pray for me, everyone.
Everyone is praying for you. Yeah. But I mean, we'll have to debrief afterwards and find out how it went.
Yeah.
But Theo, is this the start of a long relationship with you and the BBC? Could it be at Eurovision?
I don't know.
Would you like it to be?
If it is, I'm the kind of person that like I love Eurovision. I've always wanted to do this, but I'm not gonna just do it for the sake of doing it. I'm only gonna do it if I really think I can, if I have something to say. Because there are other like creative people that put on these performances that and they are so good at their job and they're so slick and whatever. I'm not that kind of creative director. I know there are people that are better than me that if you know to do like a polished pop performance, but if the right project comes along, like I'd love to do Eurovision again because it's been an absolute dream and it's been I'm such a perfectionist, and it's the only TV show I've ever worked on where you get a viewing room and you can pause it and tell them what you want and they have to do it. It's the best, yeah.
Well, if or indeed when that happens, it'd be lovely to do this again.
I'd love that. Yeah, of course, for sure.
Theo, thank you so much for chatting to us. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Huge thanks there to Theo for finding some time in what can only be a manic schedule, especially this week here in Malmö. Do let us know what you thought of Ollie's staging. Let us know what you thought of everything you saw in tonight's semi-final at Eurotrip Podcast on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok and Threads. And you can email us as well, hello@eurotrippodcast.com. I should say as well, we've seen loads and loads and loads and loads of your messages over the last few days. Sorry we haven't read any of them out. I've been reading them all. I've been making note of some of the best stories that we've seen. We'll be reading some of them out tomorrow on the podcast.
And we haven't mentioned this yet, as we look ahead to what is still to come in Eurovision week. Yes, semi-final number two. That's not the biggest thing that's happening on Thursday. The Eurotrip Live is coming very, very soon. So we're really, really excited about that. If you're listening to this and you're here in Malmö and you're coming along, maybe you're at home and you are flying over in time for Thursday. I mean, some people would say they're flying over for the semi-final. We know you're flying over the Eurotrip Live. Don't worry about that. But yeah, the Eurotrip Live is on the way very soon, so that's exciting. It's a busy week and it just keeps getting busier.
It is indeed. If you're in Malmö or if you're about to fly out and you're thinking, this is the first time I've heard of it, or you haven't quite grabbed yourself a ticket yet, you can still grab yourself a ticket. There's a link to it in the episode description. Grab yourself a free ticket and pop along on Thursday. It's 1 p.m. in the Eurovision Village here in Malmö.
Well, that was busy, wasn't it? I think it's probably time for us to say goodbye. A huge thank you for joining us here on the episode, our third episode, live from Malmö, the host city of Eurovision 2024. Should we do it all again tomorrow?
I think we should. That is when we will be back with you. It'll be our preview for semi-final number two. We've already got a lot planned. Loads of great conversations to bring you. As I said, we'd love you to get in touch. Keep your messages coming in. We always love to hear from you. But I think it's time to say goodbye.
From me, Callum, it's goodbye.
From me, Rob, it's goodbye.
And from me, James, it is goodbye.
The biggest names in tennis are coming to Paris for the most anticipated Roland Garros in years. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV live in HD. Experience 3 weeks of unparalleled tournament access as the world's top players in tennis face off against each other. Will the veteran champions continue their dominance, or will a fresh face emerge to challenge their legacy on the clay courts? Daily live coverage of this epic showdown begins Monday, May 20th. Don't miss a matchup. Stream it now with Tennis Channel Plus to be there when it happens.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.